This is On The Mark, and we are pleased to be joined by the Hall of Famer today. I was moved by his Hall of Fame speech. LaDainian Tomlinson with us today. LT, let's start there, if we can. I thought it was just vulnerable and passionate and inspiring, all of it. And you know, going back, talking about your great-great-great-great-grandfather who came here as a slave and took on the name Tomlinson, which you have made so proud today. You know, I just when you were putting that together and thinking about what you wanted to talk about, how did it become clear that, you know what, I want to go this way and I want to talk about my family and the history?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I just, when my football life came out, and I got so much great response from that football life from the NFL Network, and I just felt like, you know, people were moved by that 1 hour special so much that they would stop me in airports and you know, just around town and say, you know what, I really enjoyed your football life. It was so inspiring. And so thinking about that, I said, you know what, I need to build upon that. I need to speak more about that. I need to, you know, kind of bring people together through my story of two families, a white side and a black side coming together. Because, you know, when I thought about it, I said, man, you know, my story is America's story. It is a lot of our stories. So what better way to take this opportunity to speak to this country about my story and how it can inspire everyone, all of us, to be better. And that's kind of how it came together. Honestly, I struggled with that for a long time if I wanted to do it. I really did. I went back and forth saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I will do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And one morning I woke up and it was just this overwhelming feeling I had to, you have to do this. Like, you have to do this. And that's how it came about.
I guess, and the fear is, how is it going to be received, right? People are, well, I want to hear about
right.
your, you know, I want to hear about your football career. I don't want to know about, you know, your family and any resentments you might hold or whatever it would be. I mean, that's, so you got to hold yourself that it's going to go, you know, the way you want it to go, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, thinking about that and thinking about a bit of it, you know, for me, it was embarrassing, you know, to know these truths and to, I mean, because, you know, I was doing fine. I, you know, was in the NFL and MVP and, you know, the number one player in football. So, I mean, I didn't really have to deal with that. You know what I mean? It was just like, just forget about it. But, you know, as time went on, and I know my mom kept on telling me that I needed to talk to Chris Tomlinson. And she had talked to him for, you know, had been talking to him for a while. And I used to tell my mom, no, Mom, I don't really want to hear about it. I don't want to deal with it. And so it was a bit embarrassing. But then that overwhelming feeling of just saying, you know what, you need to do this. It really didn't matter at that point how it was going to be received. I knew that I was doing the right thing for our family.
Yeah, and it's not, at the end of the day, embarrassing. It's actually a huge point of strength, at least from my perspective. So I give you huge props for going
there,
LT. And, you know, your mom, obviously, huge figure for you. And she held standards when you were a young LaDainian, did she not? I was, you know, seeing her reaction at your speech and the tears coming out a little bit and how much she just held you to do the right thing. And I particularly like the part, you know, you're at TCU, you win one game as a freshman, you want to transfer, and your mom's like, no, you're going to be a part of the solution. And I think any great athlete, they don't get there without parents pushing them and giving them sort of the, hey, this is the road, this is how it goes about. I mean, I heard Michael Jordan speaking recently saying that after he didn't make the varsity team as a sophomore, he thought about going to play baseball. And so I'm like, no, go back and prove it to him. I mean, everybody needs that who got to the level that you were able to get to.
No question. You know, because it gets hard. There comes times where you do want to give up and you don't think you have what it takes. And it's, you know, it is our parents that pushes us to say, no, you don't give up. You know, you don't quit. You keep going and you see it through, those types of things. And, you know, just I just think about the everyday of my mom's sacrifice of taking me to practice from the time I was 7 years old, you know, till the time I you know, through high school. When you think about that, that's over 10 years of just every day, you know, her taking me somewhere, taking me to get something done with sports. And that's a sacrifice that, man, it's a long journey to do that. And so, you know, to see her face when I'm up there giving a Hall of Fame speech, you know, I had to hold back tears because I can see the look on her face, how proud she was. It was truly a moving moment.
Yeah, and, I'm, you know, just one more on your speech. You talked about at 6 years old, you knew that you were going to play in the NFL, and at seven, you asked for a weight set, and at 12 years old, you're going to a you're going to a football camp. But you also mentioned that at 12, you were lacking confidence. So you had this, you had this vision, but you weren't, you know, at like any young kid. I mean, I'm sure you doubted yourself along the way. Where did that ultimate confidence, you know what, I can get there, I can get to TCU and I can get myself in the NFL. Where do you think that there was a, was there any like particular person or moment where it sort of crystallized for you?
Well, you know, what happened was, so when I was young, I was, you know, one of the best athletes, obviously, in my, you know, for my age. Just fast kid, quick kid, all those kinds of things. And so, you know, and I played quarterback growing up. But when I was 11 in the sixth grade, I broke my foot. And I lost some of my skills after breaking my foot. And so, when I was 12 and going to that Jay Novacek camp and meeting Emmitt Smith, at that time I was kind of, you know, lacking in confidence as an athlete. I was just coming off of breaking my foot. And that football season, I didn't even start anymore. I sat the bench the whole year. You know, I lost my skills. And so I was lacking in confidence. But meeting Emmitt Smith at that camp and just kind of sizing him up and saying, man, this guy's not that big, but he's a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. I remember like it was yesterday as a kid. It just gave me confidence to say, you know what, I can do this. Like, I can make it to the NFL. And it just changed my life. I left that camp on top of the world. You know, it was like I got my confidence back and my skills started to come back. And it was from there, it was you know, on. It was history.
Mom, saving that money, got you to the camp. Look at that. You're partnering. I want to ask you a couple questions about the NFL today real fast, but let's just get in here. You're partnering with the National Peanut Board, which, of course, is hosting one of the biggest high school games of the year, DeSoto and Cedar Hill. So talk about why you're working with the Peanut Board today, LaDainian.
Well, because of three things that I absolutely love, right? I mean, it's football is one, but the state of Texas and peanuts. And when you think about it, what the Peanut Bowl is, a game that celebrates America's love for peanuts. With the big-time matchup in high school, well, I mean, Texas, we play the best football. And what way to celebrate this wonderful game than to see a high school football game like Cedar Hill and DeSoto, which 12,000 fans will be in attendance, have some peanuts with it, and celebrate this bowl, Peanut Bowl, for the first time. This is going to happen in Texas. And between these two teams, honestly, I don't know who I would pick. I mean, it's going to be a great game, but I'm fortunate that I'll be there with my peanuts, you know, at this high school football game.
You gonna eat the shell, or you go? You break it apart.
Say again. Do I eat this? No, I eat the whole thing.
You do?
Yeah.
That's
aggressive. Well, I'm a honey roasted guy. I'm a honey roasted guy, but I do have the ones with the shell actually in my pantry. But I gotta admit, my father-in-law likes the shells. And so usually I'm a honey roasted guy. My father-in-law, he brings the shells. And so when I have the shells, if that's all I have, yeah, I got to take it out of the shell and then eat it.
Okay, okay. The hearts, the old school guys, they eat that shell. That's aggressive. Hey, any?
Oh man, that is aggressive.
It is. Wow, it is flat out aggressive. Any regrets, real quick here on calling out Ezekiel Elliott a couple weeks ago for not? I guess you call it giving up. Which I think a lot of people thought, and I guess Michael Irvin wanted to call you up and say, hey, you can't say that about a guy. Do you have any regrets of putting it out there like that?
No, I don't. I think we all have certain opinions, and you know, that was my opinion on it, you know, which I think a lot of people felt like he gave up on that play. I think what's unfortunate is, you know, the difference between people saying you call him, you know, you're saying he's a quitter, which is not what I said, and giving up on the play. That's two different things. If you quit on play, you give up on the play, that's not the same thing as saying that you're a quitter. You know, insinuate that somebody's a quitter is saying he consistently gives up, and that's not accurate, because I haven't seen that from Ezekiel. It was just shocking to see that for the first time. But I think the kid will correct it. I think Jason Garrett is a terrific coach who will obviously have to talk with him about that. And I doubt that we'll see that again.
Lastly, LT, your thoughts on the president speaking on Friday and the NFL's response, and where do we go from here? I mean, your Hall of Fame speech was a lot about unity, and right now we got some work to do, clearly.
Yeah, that's what we got to continue to focus on, unity. And I think, you know, obviously the NFL had their stance, and, you know, it obviously was based on, you know, particular teams of how they wanted to handle it. But you're right, we do have a ways to go, and I think we just keep on focusing on unity and, you know, moving forward and uniting everyone.
You used to the Chargers in L.A., or do you miss them back in San Diego?
Well, I mean, I've come to grips with the fact that they're in L.A. now. So, I mean, it's something that it took me a while to get used to. But I think when the vote didn't pass to build that stadium, we all expected it, you know, to happen. And the fact that I've been to every home game, you know, I'm used to it now. I'm used to them being in L.A. and you know, those fans. And just hopefully we need to win some games now.
Yep. LaDainian Tomlinson, LT, the Hall of Famer. Appreciate the time. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.